here, and Jonathan and Adam and myself, it's four members. We're still missing a couple people, but hopefully they'll call in as we get going here. Does any member have anything for opening round?
I did. I wanted to mention that we planted 11 new trees on our street, just on my block, just over the past 2 weeks. Jacob Kaiser delivered them, dropped them off, and me and I think there were eight of us all together, so me and seven other people planted them over 2 days. We did six the first day and then five the week later. So yeah, a variety of trees, and they're all doing well. And a neighbor and friend and I will keep them watered as well when they need to be watered. So
good, good, okay. Anybody else? Okay, let's move on to approval of the minutes of March 1st, or March 11th rather. I read them over and didn't find anything to correct or change, but maybe somebody else did.
I found one thing in 5B, the information about Earth Day. The second and last sentence there says that the city discussed promoting a list of things that residents could do. I think that should read the commission discussed.
Okay.
That was the only thing I found.
That's you're probably right on that one, yeah. Let me make a motion to approve the minutes from last meeting.
I so move.
Second.
Jonathan?
Yep, second.
Okay, all in favor say aye. Wave your hand.
Aye.
Aye.
You've got eyes. Okay, that's done. Okay. Special presentations. Andrew Lynn Harris, I think that's how I pronounce the name. I don't know. Is he here?
Yes. So let me get Andrew into...
Okay, he's coming in now. And Sinan, I think he said he wanted to do some screen sharing as well.
Yes. Andrew, I'm there. Thank you, co-host.
Hello, so Andrew.
And share your screen.
Great. Hi. Can everybody hear me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Great. Happy to be here with you. I wanted to take something like 10 or 15 minutes of your time today and talk to you about a new program that we're running. University City is a supporter of it, as well as a supporter of our sister residential program. And our program is for commercial building owners. So that's, every non-residential building type. And it is a solar group buy program intended to buy down the cost of going solar and bring the whole community, the whole region of St. Louis into cooperation to have a mini solar boom happen in this year and probably next year as well. The program is called Renew STL Solar. And if I can share my screen, I will go ahead and let's see. Let's do it. Here we go. Great. So can you all see that?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so thank you all again for having me. So I work for Renew Missouri, which is a 501c3 statewide clean energy advocacy organization. We work on renewable energy policy and energy efficiency policy. I run our St. Louis office. And Tori Cheatham is another one of my employees. She works in my office. So that's a little bit about who we are. We're the main administrators on this Renew STL Solar program that I want to tell you about. We hired Straight Up Solar as our solar installer partner through a competitive bid RFP process. They're an excellent company, have done more than 1,300 residential and commercial projects. I think it's like more than like 1,800 now or something like that. They're also the installer on the Grow Solar St. Louis and Grow Solar Metro East programs. That's the residential version of these programs that have a longer track record. So we are recruiting municipal partners. We're recruiting, member organizations, membership organizations like chambers of commerce and things like that to help us. The primary purpose of our program, as I said, is it's a group buy, which allows us to package similar projects together, buy down the cost of install and the cost of customer acquisition for the company, right? Which helps us to make for each individual customer, it's a little cheaper than it would be on the open market. So that's the primary focus. But these other benefits that we believe our program delivers is to simplify the whole process of going solar for folks, the incentives, the interconnection, all those issues, to help businesses and municipalities, hospitals, what have you, to achieve some public recognition and get some PR benefits out of the program, to help track progress towards sustainability objectives. And obviously that's relevant to you all, to support job creation in the region. The new Greater St. Louis Inc. body is someone that we're speaking with and working with. So that's a big piece of this program as well. Our program supports rooftop solar, battery storage systems, and EV charging systems, of which there are all sorts of federal and state and sometimes utility incentives, depending on which technology we're talking about. So I mentioned the financial savings that for most businesses, I just talked to a business today out in Wentzville. They have almost no interest in anything green whatsoever, right? But the financial savings is A1 for them. Wow. So we have this message that we can sell to them and it makes a big difference. We can achieve a lower levelized cost of energy or LCOE by going solar for them. And that message resonates. We also have this program volume discount, another value of a group buy program as opposed to the open market. The more customers we get in the program, we're able to offer cash back. So you can get as much as 2% just cash back, which incentivizes participants to go out there and evangelize on the program. We're working with financing partners. So we have various models of financing depending on which customer you are, depending on whether you want to avoid the upfront cost entirely and pay back the loan through the savings achieved by the system. Obviously for a municipality, that one is going to be attractive. Our partner, Cleanview Capital here has this lease to own, model for, cities that helps a lot because it's, as you all know, it's very complicated to get a new budget item approved or to do a bond issue or whatever. Like that's a whole bigger project. If you want to spend, say, $100,000 or $200,000 on a solar system, right? This would allow us to skip that step in a way to avoid that huge upfront expense and to experience savings down the line and with that savings, retire the loan. So I mentioned simplifying solar. There's all sorts of rebates. Ameren offers a solar rebate. They offer a EV charging rebate to the point where these EV charging stations are basically free. And that's something that I would really recommend that the city look at. There's also these tax incentives that a lot of businesses obviously really appreciate, but won't be relevant for you guys. PR, I mentioned sustainability goals is an ever increasing prominent feature of corporate agendas these days. And then be a part of a regional effort, right? A lot of times a solar company is trying to sell a business or a city on something and it's just like an atomized project that doesn't have a greater context, you know? And we want this to really be an opportunity for businesses, schools, cities to all take part in the same shared effort of supporting a growing job sector in solar, right? So I'm going over this really quickly, but that's because I want to eventually get to some specifics for the city. And let's see if I can share this here. So number one, you guys are already a supporter of the program, which means you city has endorsed the program as a local government partner, which is great. That means that, you know, we've gotten some help and some tips on what businesses in U City we can go approach. And you guys have, I think we've utilized some listservs and that's excellent. But also we would love for you all to be a participating city, which means addressing some of the energy demand of your city buildings. And I've been talking with a couple folks over at the library that Jenny Wendt has put me in touch with. And she also recommended that I come speak to you guys about two buildings, which are Firehouse 1 and Firehouse 2. And I believe this is one here that I have pulled up, 1045 North and South Road. Is that right? Is this Firehouse 1?
I think so, yeah.
Yes. Okay.
So what I've done here is, this is very cheap software. This is the free stuff, right? But it gives us an idea of what a system might look like. And we're using these REC panels, which is what Straight Up Solar uses, 440 amp panels. And this will be the smaller one of the two, but this is about 57 kilowatts, which is pretty decent for how small of a building it is. It will address the electricity, the lighting load, the HVAC load in the summer, and hopefully, meaningfully reduce electricity bills. It should be pretty easy to do. Alone, given that you guys can't take the tax credit, it may or may not be the best payback, but I think with the other system, it very well may be. Let's go to that one really quickly. Okay, I believe it's this one. So this one is a little bigger. This is Firehouse 2 on Westgate. All right, so this is my
actually the
build.
Other way around. I think Firehouse 1 is on Westgate.
Okay.
I'm just looking at them now.
You might be right. Okay, so this is one and the other one's two.
Messed up, that's all.
Yeah. Okay. And so this one is about 83. So together, it's something like 140 kilowatts of rooftop solar, which is decent. That's a decent project. And I think Straight Up Solar could use their much better software to get you all a proposal that you can really start to think about, and not just a size and cost proposal, but based on your utility bills, which I think we have now, I got from either John or someone else, Patrick maybe, and Jenny's been helping.
You got the library bills from Patrick, yeah.
Yeah, Patrick got me the library bills. So we can, just by getting a sense of what you've used over the last year, the last 12 months, we can see what your peak was in the summer and develop a payback projection of where utility bills are supposed to go and everything that will show you how much you're going to save month to month throughout the year and how much you're going to save over the warranted life of the system, which is 25 years. And nowadays, solar systems can last well into the 30-year range. So the idea here would be, let's look at our financial options, whether it's a lease-to-own model that I mentioned earlier, or whether you guys wanted to wrap this into a bond issue that you were already involved with, and just take a look at it. The program will allow us to give you guys a free estimate, and I think we're already working on that. So that's the idea here, is let's have UCity not only be a local government partner on this program, but actually be a participant and see what it would cost and how we could finance these two systems. And by all means, if you guys have further questions or further ideas, other city buildings out there that we could consider, I'm all ears, but really I'm just here to avail myself of your questions do whatever I can to help. So thanks for having me. And does anybody have any questions for me?
Yeah, I've got two. I presume you've been talking to some city people within the city government. I don't know if you talked to Sinan, but somebody else you must have talked to. Have you done that?
Well, I've known Jenny for quite a while, Jenny Wendt, and that's the main person I've been talking to. And she put me in touch with Patrick at the library and yourself, John.
Okay, well, I'm not a city official. I'm just chairman of this commission. So I'm strictly in the advisory role. But so you're going to work through Jenny to go ahead and try to approach the city government to talk to them about that.
Yes, I'd love to. I'd love to know your all's recommendation on what the next step is. I mean, what do you think is the decision-making protocol for the city?
Okay, so let me ask the second question then. And I guess Jenny's going to have to answer the first one, and she's not here right now.
Sure.
In some parts of the country, I don't know if it's going on in Missouri, utilities are talking about the fact that they have a huge capital expense just to keep their electric systems running all the time. It's built into the rates we pay. As more and more people go solar and electric utilities receive less and less income, the question is, there's talk of utilities raising the rates considerably to take care of the capital expenses they have to maintaining the existing load system. Has any of that been factored into your thinking yet?
Yeah, well, this is a very, very big question that's not unique at all to Missouri or to St. Louis. This is the fixed cost issue. And, you know, John, solar obviously does lower both the peak and the overall income for the revenue for the utility, but so does energy efficiency, right? So as appliances get cheaper, or as appliances get more efficient and cheaper, more people are installing those. LED light bulbs are drastically lowering the lighting load for every type of building. People are using less energy as they seal up their envelopes. And then, of course, population flux and businesses moving around does the same, right? So that has a way more severe impact than any little rooftop solar system, right? So I think sometimes that point that you bring up, which is very valid in a place like Nevada or California or Arizona, I think it's drastically overblown here. But the other thing is, this benefits the utilities system, the system overall, the grid overall. When solar energy goes out onto the grid, say when this fire station is overproducing, winter, and there's no electricity being used for the HVAC, and nobody's in the firehouse or something like that, right? So all the lights are off, but the system is just crushing it. It's pushing the excess power out onto the wires, which goes to the nearby buildings, which the utility no longer has to serve. So they're getting all sorts of distribution and transmission savings there. They are, as a result, not having to burn as much coal and natural gas. Eventually, at the aggregate, with energy efficiency and solar, they don't have to build the next plant.
Yeah,
and maybe they can even close a plant and save a bunch of money and invest in other things. So it's a much bigger conversation, but it's a good, smart question.
Okay. Anybody else have any questions?
No, I'd just like to say it sounds like a great thing, a good step forward.
Anybody else? Okay, Andrew.
Can I leave you with one thought?
Yes.
So you are all the Green Practices Commission, and I got some background on what you guys do, but I would love to know your all thoughts on how you might impact this situation if we do get to a place where the city council is looking at doing something here or another decision maker. Do you all make recommendations or could you?
Mm-hmm. So I was going to propose that we just, if I can get consensus from the commission members, to make a recommendation to the city council that we seriously look into this possibility for the firehouses and the library to discuss with Renew Missouri the possibility of putting the solar panels on these buildings, the two firehouses and the library, and maybe something else if it comes up. So do I hear a consensus on that or any questions on it?
I think that sounds really good. Nope. I would wonder if there's a moment to do an audit. Maybe, I don't know if that would be you, Andrew, or if it would be, I'm just kind of throwing it out there, but is there a way to do an audit of what roofs would be good to even do this on so that we could, the information could kind of be in the pipeline to make those decisions? These two buildings seem like they make a lot of sense because they're municipal buildings, they have nice flat roofs. But I wonder, like, if there are other strategically important roofs to be looking at, and where that would fall in the process. Because I think it's a great idea if we could.
Yeah. So I'm following Jenny's lead here, and this is what she's come up with over the years. I think there's been a couple proposals. So there's been a couple opportunities of like looking at solar, you know, maybe 5 years ago. And these are the ones they identified in addition to the library. So, you know, I'm not the expert here, but I can't think of any other really good. City Hall is not a good one because it's long and tall as opposed to short and
I think one flat. Of the firehouses has a relatively new roof, which is another factor to consider. Yeah. Well, I'm going to ask the commission, Adam, do you agreement to make a consensus that we suggest?
Well, do we have any financial information about how they're all impacted? I didn't see necessarily how it would impact each building. And is that what was coming with a proposed estimate or something of that nature? So we can actually see what kind of cost things of that nature are incurred.
Yes, Adam, that'll be the whole shebang. Like, what the financial impact is to the city will ultimately be the criteria I guess that people will be deciding on. And we don't have that for you yet, simply because we ran out of time. I think we got this data just a touch too late. But yes, I am having Straight Up Solar put together a proposal. Steve Summers with Straight Up Solar should have that fairly soon. So Steve actually might be listening by link. I don't know. Someone might need to tell me. But yes, we will deliver that to you guys, and hopefully it's something that is interesting enough to go forward with, and we can talk further.
So would it be better for us to wait until we see the proposal to actually say, yes, this is something we really recommend moving forward with? What do you want to think about that?
Right. That's a good point. I think what John said originally, which is this body recommending that you take a serious look at it, I think that's a useful step just because it puts it on the city council's radar. But then
I'm certainly in favor of that, moving forward with looking at it, and then be happy to look at the proposal when that's ready too.
I will get that to John when that exists. Make sure that John has that so he can share that with you all, and Jenny as well. And then if you'd like me to come back and discuss with you or explain what the bid is, and I can have Steve from Straight Up Solar on as well, we can do that.
Okay.
So yeah, John, I think as a concept, it's a great idea, but you know how the city works, until there's numbers in black and white, it's kind of like almost spinning our wheels or beating our head against the wall.
So all I'm asking is say, get a consensus that have the city take a look at it, okay? And wait for Andrew to send us a proposal, but at least to get the city government to agree to take a look at it. And if we can do that, that's a step forward. And, you know, our recommendation, it'll probably go through Jenny and somebody else. I don't know if it goes through Sinan or somebody else, the evaluation. But, yeah, so let's just recommend that this city take a look at it and get the proposal from Andrew. You can send it to myself and to Jenny, and I'll circulate it to the rest of you, and then we can see where we are. Does that sound great? Good.
Sounds good.
Yeah, it sounds good.
Yes.
Okay, so we're set there. Andrew, thank you very much.
Excellent. Thank you for having me. Okay, have a nice night.
Thank you.
Okay. We have no new business right now, but Stacy has to leave early, and I wanted to give him a chance to give us his council liaison update. And so I think I'm going to do this before we get to old business. I haven't forgotten about you, Juliet. We'll get to you, okay? All right. Stacy?
All right, John, thank you for accommodating my schedule this evening. So as you might imagine, the big news is related to Costco. So to kind of outline what has actually happened, the parcels that were needed for Costco, which is public storage, Tora Prep, which is behind in kind of the northernmost point, effectively, northwesternmost point of U City. And a couple of parcels, Jeffrey Plaza, the Korean church and another building have all been secured. They have been purchased by the developer. That closed, and then once that was done, Costco bought that lot of properties from the developer. The result of that transaction was the $3 million that went to the city. So that was always part of the what's called the redevelopment agreement. So that was always part of the plan once the deal with Costco closed. So what does that mean in terms of the money? Well, right now it's just sitting. We're not doing anything with it at this point. But we will be assembling, to John's earlier comments, we'll be assembling a group of residents to do some of the advising. As you might imagine, it's going to, you know, impact residents, and particularly Third Ward residents most significantly. We will also be looking to, I believe, in to bring in, I believe, a staff person to help administer this. So, John, not exactly what you were referring to, but bringing in someone who has experience dealing with housing programs and other programs that this money would be dedicated towards. So we are looking at that, but I think we may, John, to your point, look at other resources where appropriate to help advise us with the how to leverage this money as best we can. Because $3 million certainly sounds like a lot of money, and it is, but it can go quickly if not spent judiciously. So we certainly acknowledge that. There are the other thing of note is that you may have heard that the developer has taken a partner, a gentleman named Bob Clark. Most notably, he's the head of Clayco. I believe this is not specifically a Clayco project, but rather Bob Clark on his own as a developer is a partner in this. So he brings with him incredibly deep experiences manifest through Clayco, but also some money, which is always a good thing in these sorts of endeavors. We still need to do some work with securing residential properties in the easternmost section of that north side footprint. So we're working with those residents, or we're not working, the developer's working with those residents to secure those properties. Additionally, there's a street called Mayflower, which is on the other side of Olive, which we hope to wrap up those residential acquisitions as well. So that's a very quick summary. I know I said 6 o'clock, but I do want to make space for questions because this is obviously significant for the city. And I want you all to feel like your questions have been answered.
Well, I don't hear any. I hope just get the right people to help you out. I just mentally went through in my mind all the questions, you know, how much goes into housing, how much goes into roads, how much goes into different areas. What kind, suppose some houses are in good shape, do you give them money or do you give them money all the poor people who've got poor houses? What about rental residences and things? There's a whole bunch of questions which have to be decided. And it's not a whole, $3 million is not a whole lot of money. It's going to be very difficult, and you really need some people with experience in it. But also, I think I didn't hear this, is that the residents in the Third Ward, each of them is going to have certain things they want to do, and they're going to be pulling for those. But you almost need somebody outside of that group, whether it's a city resident or somebody higher, a couple of city residents, and people with good analytical minds to take a look at this and decide really what's the best way to allocate the money to get the best bang for the buck. And so I just hope that we do the best we can and see what happens with it.
And I agree. And I would encourage you, if you are interested in this topic, you know, we are going to be addressing various aspects of this in our city council meetings. So I would encourage you to tune in. I was actually, forgive me if I look a little distracted, I was glancing at the agenda. We have a meeting Monday the 12th, and I think we may be addressing some element of it as well. So my larger point is city council meetings are going to be the best place to get information regarding what we're doing and hearing the deliberations associated with it. Because to John's point, there's going to be a million different opinions on how, there's going to be literally 3 million opinions on how we use this $3 million. And so part of our role in the council is to navigate all those varying opinions and come up with something that will leverage the dollars in the most effective way possible. So,
okay.
All right.
Stacy, before you go, has there been any decision then when they're going to start moving dirt or, and then on top of that, a second question would be, have all the businesses, I guess, on the south side of Olive already been acquired as well or no?
So we're the developer's still going through the acquisition process for the south side. There was talk of phasing that the south side would be in the latter part of the phasing. I think there's some idea with this partner, with the resources they have, we might be able to accelerate that. So I think they're in conversation right now with those businesses on the south side about acquisition. Clearly Costco was the priority. So getting okay. that locked down is where 95% of the focus has been. Okay. Now that that's done, we can move to other things. So I think it's the priorities, obviously Costco first. I think they want to shore up that eastern end of that Costco footprint. So that means getting the eastern part of Richard, Elmore, and Orchard, getting those residential locked down, and then the south side.
Okay.
But I think all those conversations are frankly happening simultaneously. Adam, you had another question.
Yeah, just about when would they possibly start moving dirt on the Costco aspect of it then, I guess.
Yeah, we're a few months away from that. Because now Costco's got to do quite a bit of due diligence and do some other things. So getting it, you know, where we're to the point where we're going to see big trucks, I still think we're a few months away from that. But it will certainly be within 2021, you'll see demolition. You'll see things, I think, starting to materially happen in a way like, you can say, like, this is happening, this is real.
Right. Well, I know also, is there a commitment or anything? Because I know Costco normally builds a lot of their buildings very green because that falls upon, I believe, Costco to build the building, not the developer per se. Is that something that the city's already entertaining ideas on for offering incentives, things of that nature to the business?
You know, Adam, that's a really good point. You know, we went with Costco because of the overall company ethos, because of how they treat their employees, because they are committed to sustainability. So generally speaking, yes. But I think you do bring up a good point, and I will commit to taking the lead on this. As we get to the building phase, how do they address green practices? And it may be even worthwhile to have, and John, I can coordinate this with you, a representative from Costco come and talk about that.
That would be great.
Because I think it is a priority.
Yeah, sure. Like that.
So, John, let's work on that. We can maybe connect next week or something, John, and talk about how to make something like that work. And we can bring Jenny into that conversation as well.
Okay.
Because I think that's appropriate. I think that's very appropriate and a good call, Adam.
Nice. Okay, Stacy, I think we're going to let you go.
Okay.
I got another meeting to go to.
You're 6:30. Okay.
All right.
And somebody's coming here. They're not here yet, so I may stay on as long as I can, but when they come, then I'm going to cut off. But I'll mute myself. And
I have like one quick question for Stacy, actually, about that $3 million. And if that's so the process of distributing that money, like, is it a private facilitator that will do that or the staff member with the city who is administering it? Like, does it fit within a strategic plan or could this perhaps lay the groundwork for a kind of larger strategic plan for spending other money that comes from the development in the third ward or other wards?
So I think how checks get cut, I think is somewhat remains to be seen. I don't know if that will manifest through a nonprofit or the city will do it itself. I think that's, to John's earlier point, among the myriad of questions, logistical questions that we need to answer. Because there'll be elements of the housing program that we will actually be giving, at least the vision is to give dollars to actual residents in the form of forgivable loans and other financing options. So, you know, that could get very administratively intensive.
Right.
Whether that's something the city has the capacity to take on or whether we outsource that, I'm not sure yet. Mm-hmm. But again, to John's point, one of the myriad of questions we've got to wrestle to the ground.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Anybody else? Okay, let's move on. Old business, there's no new business, old business. Juliet Kemau from the WashU is going to talk about the sustainability webpage. Juliet?
Hi, yes, I'm going to share my screen. So can everyone see that?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. So I've been working with Jenny and I've basically been, we've been talking about doing an environmental tab for the website for a while now. And it's primarily to like show residents that like their government has intentions of sustainability and we should support it. And so I wanted to create tabs that if you are, you're probably familiar with these subjects, they're of the one SDL sustainability plan. I wanted to follow that and make it more resident-centered. And so basically what's happening here is in terms of the website, there would be a big like environmental tab or sustainability, whichever heading you choose. And these are the subheadings, the sub-tabs. And so within each folder or each tab, there's a list of different things that we are going to cover. And this is like not exhaustive. This is what I have so far for each one. I'm gonna go through each list. I don't have to list everything out loud, but I wanted you guys to see it to maybe give me critiques on what I should add, if I should remove anything. And I think that I can find another way to maybe share a link to the entire folder so you can see it after this meeting. But I wanted to include subjects that were resident friendly so that even if they don't go through all of the information, they're able to dig deeper about the subjects that they're interested in. So if they are interested in maybe like their new residents, they've just bought a home, they're interested in biodiversity, okay, rainscaping, okay, we can talk about like pollinator friendly habitats. And so I can give you like an example of the PDF that would show up once they clicked an item on that list. And so the idea is that there's like explanations of what, why it's important, how they can get involved and different resources. And I can add more if we need to. And the idea is that the links and the resources are like as evergreen and long lasting as possible. So we don't have to keep going through this and changing everything. And so here are some subjects for biodiversity. And for energy and atmosphere, it really talks about just how you can be more energy efficient for the home. And so for this one, it focuses on lighting and HVAC, and it gives you like very tangible resources on how you can apply it to your own life. And so it goes on and on. I think the most, honestly, the lengthiest, but probably maybe the most important is recycling and materials, because you get a lot of questions on that and it's a little confusing. And so we have little infographics of how to recycle responsibly that we already had on like on the site, but it's more compiled this way. And so we have these. And also just like, you know, the history of university city recycling program, like how to recycle hard to recycle items and things like that, that people might be confused on. And so There's another folder that I wanted to add that isn't that I haven't gotten to yet, but it's reports and initiatives. So that's basically, it would house like lots of resources on the Green Practices Commission, on the Sustainable Development Guidelines, and other regional like resources and organizations that they can engage in. And so on the website, I'm currently working on it now. And so this is like an example of a page. The environment tab would be up here, and it would lead to a page like this where the sub tabs would be here. And the list would be here. I'm thinking about adding some kind of aesthetically pleasing picture or something here. On this side, I would want to maybe add contact information for Jenny and the Green Practices Commission, so they know like who to contact if they're confused. And for reports and initiatives, I briefly wanted to show you the list. So again, I would probably add the history and then the Green Practices Commission, the one SDL plan, and probably mention like why things are formatted this way and link it to that, and then other programs and organizations in New City. So that's basically what I have for you. And if you have any questions or want me to clarify anything, I can totally do that. But that's my presentation.
Do you have information yet on Bring Conservation Home in there?
I think I do. Let me share my
New City again. Is a partner.
So I can't remember where I put it. Maybe it was in here.
Should be in there. Probably native gardening for the home.
Yes, here it is. It's under regional biodiversity related organizations.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Okay.
And so it has a blurb and then the link.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Yes, we need to promote that a lot more. It's a good program.
I agree. Does anyone else have any questions?
Juliet, that looks pretty good. I'm
it does.
Delighted to see that.
Okay, awesome. And again, I can share the link if anyone has anything to add, and I can share my email, but that's what I have. Thank you for your attention.
The key thing is it's available so people go to the U City website and can find this. And if the links are properly set up so they can, that'll be good.
Yes.
All right. Juliet, thank you very much. You're graduating this spring, I guess, right?
I am. I'm so excited.
Okay. Done very well with this. I hope you get a good job. Okay.
God willing. Right.
So the last thing we have now is the Barbara's going to talk about the Department of Conservation Community Conservation Grant update.
Okay, there's not a lot to say. Not a lot of developments, but we are meeting, just to refresh everybody's memory, first of all, the U City in Bloom is, Jesse Gilbertson of U City in Bloom is taking the lead on this grant application to the Missouri Department of Conservation, and it's the Community Conservation Grant that they're offering. And we have started writing, he and I have been writing the grant application. We do have the Green Center as a partner so far. Jan Oberkramer was pretty enthusiastic about it. We have talked to Darren Dunkel, the director of U City Parks, Recreation and Forestry. And he's expressed interest and said that something definitely needs to be done with Ruth Park Woods. I had contacted somebody at the River de Pere Watershed Coalition, hoping to get them involved as partners too, but haven't heard anything back yet. So we'll probably give them a try to another time. And I think that was it for partners so far. And then, of course, we would get various community groups in as volunteers when it comes to planning for the maintenance and so on. So the one actual development that we have is that we will be meeting with a couple of people from the Department of Conservation on the 19th of this month, so just over a week. And Jesse and I will be part of that group, and Jan Oberkramer and Darren Dunkel, John Solidar will be there, and I think that's it. And we're meeting with Erin Shank and Danny Monchesti from MDC, and hope to get a lot of ideas from them and a lot of good information that we can add into the grant application and go from there.
Yeah, so that sounds great. I should add, I sent the city forester, Jacob Kaiser, and I sent to Jesse Gilbertson a history of treating working for invasives in Ruth Park Woods. Myself and a few other people have been involved for a long time. And I also sent him a copy of research I did on how to treat, get rid of winter creeper, which is a dominant invasive in some parts of the wood, project I had published. The follow-up maintenance is really the key. There's been some good work's been done to eliminate some things. The biggest one is bush honeysuckle. One man went through a number of years ago, killed all the big plants that were, and then I noticed that new plants were coming up. I went and sprayed all the new plants with Roundup. It took me 2.5 years each time. I did it 3 times. I couldn't get any help. And so I got exhausted finally, and now I'm just going through and doing within about 10 yards of the trails. So the lesson here is that you're going with all good intentions, but unless you're really sure, you're going to have some backup and to do the maintenance to keep things going, it's not worth doing the work to begin with. I really believe that. And certainly with everything that's gone on there with people, other people have gone in and try to remove things as well. And it's just, if you don't do the maintenance, it's going to be forever actually on a bush honeysuckle, because there's so many homes with bush honeysuckle and surrounding the woods areas not too far from it. The birds bring the seeds in. That's a big factor. And I'd love to see this succeed. The woods are really deteriorated quite a bit. There's about 7 big invasives in there and have to be handled. If anybody wants to see the report that I sent, either one of them, let me know by email and I'll be glad to send it to you. It's short reading. It's not very long at all. But this is the key to this whole thing. Somehow or other, we got to get the volunteers to keep it going.
I agree that is the key, and that's going to be the key to getting the grant in the first place, I think, because MDC would require, I think, at least a 15-year plan, maintenance plan. So yeah, we really have to do some thinking on that. And I plan to get in touch shortly with my master naturalist group to let them know about this project, and would hope to get a lot of volunteers from them as well. And of course, Jesse has access to lots of volunteers with U City in Bloom too. So we're hoping to tap into them as well, and also the Green Center. So we're keeping our fingers crossed, but yeah, we really are aware that maintenance is going to be the key, ongoing maintenance. It's never going to be done because invasives are just part of our lives now, unfortunately.
It sounds like that's a real good idea, though, to get U City and Bloom on board, along with the city as well, of course. It sounds like you might have a good shot at maintaining it down the road if it was a project that got kind of rolled in with U City and Bloom, just like how they deal part, you know, certain planners and everything else through the city, that every year they just it's like clockwork almost. You can tell spring's here and Euclidean blooms out there. So right. If it'd be something that, you know, you can get them involved in and where they can get on that schedule, then I think it'd be a great idea. But I also kind of agree with John that, you know, if it's a one-shot deal, yeah, it kind of comes in and clears out the worst of the worst. But, you know, then unfortunately they come back and we're in the same boat again down the road.
Right. No, there would be no point in doing that. I wouldn't want to waste everybody's time in doing it that way. This has to be a real commitment to keep up with it from now on.
Yeah, I think, like I said, getting Euclidean and Bloom involved in I forget where they have the beehives. Not the Green Practices Commission, but the other program here in Euclidean. I forget what it's called, but that you mentioned earlier.
The Bring Conservation Home, that one?
That was it. I'm sorry, yes.
Yeah, that's the Audubon Society actually runs that.
Yeah, the Audubon Society. And we had contacted Mitch Leachman, too, before we knew that he was resigning from St. Louis Audubon, hoping to get St. Louis Audubon's support. But, of course, with Mitch being gone, they didn't want to commit to anything at that point. But we'll circle back and talk to them a little when we get a little further along, and hope that we can get them on board as partners too, because again they have an awful lot of volunteers to call on too.
Okay. I guess that's it, Barbara, on that one. Okay,
that's it. Yeah, that's all.
Closing round, anybody have any thoughts closing round?
Nope.
Oh. Okay, Sinan, thank you for hosting this thing for us, filling in for Jenny.
Sure, no problem. It was a great meeting.
Okay, glad to have you. All right, that's it. I'm going to adjourn the meeting at 6:25 on my computer. That's it. Well done. See you next month.
Good to see you, everybody.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Have a good-